Hello and welcome to Encounter Prayer, a podcast resource for the Year of Prayer in the Diocese of Nottingham. Each month we'll interview someone from the Diocese of Nottingham and ask them to share with us a little bit about their prayer life, so that we can discover and showcase many different types of prayer. It is our hope that this podcast and the many other resources available on our diocesan website will help you grow closer to Christ in this very special year. We want this year to be a year of encounter, or maybe re-encounter, for you in your relationship with God. Let every time of prayer be an opportunity for you to speak heart to heart with our Lord and come to know him in the way that he wants you to know him, to understand his love for you and the mission that he has set upon your heart. So welcome to our latest episode of Encounter Prayer. I'm delighted this time to have people from a little bit further than a diocese joining us. We've got Rebecca Durham and Father Jan Novotnik, who are joining us for our session today as we think about the Our Father. So how about, I think probably best way, if you introduce yourself. So Rebecca, would you like to go first?
Hi, lovely to be with you, Joe. I think probably the reason you've invited me on is because I am at the beginning of a little project where I've created a set of flashcards to teach very young children the meaning of the Our Father, which is therefore very appropriate for our session today. I have two young children, a son who's just turned 5 and a daughter who's 2.5. And when my son was very little, after Mass one day, a lady who runs the children's liturgy said, "I'm very impressed with how well Leo knows his prayers." And I was very proud of mommy moment. And then I thought to myself, he knows his prayers. We say them every evening, but I'm not quite sure what he knows what they mean. I need to teach him. So I got thinking about it and thought, oh, I need some pictures. He's definitely not going to sit still. I can't go through the whole thing with him. It would be much better if we were playing games. And after a little bit of thought, I realized actually that might be something that other people might like as well. And fast forward a couple of years, and we're in a situation where they are now for sale, which is absolutely amazing.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Rebecca. And over to you, Father Jan.
Oh, gosh, I don't think my introduction will be anything as interesting and thought-provoking as that. But so it's good to be with you, Joe. I'm the Director of Mission at the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. That's quite a mouthful. but basically my work, or part of my work, is to assist the bishops, particularly in their work for evangelization and catechesis. And as part of that, I'm helping them with the preparations for the Jubilee year. And as many people know, part of the focus for our preparations for the Jubilee year is the prayer of the Our Father. So I presume that's why I'm here. So there we are.
Absolutely, yes. So in this time in Lent, we've been encouraged to focus on the Our Father. So I thought, having listened to Father Jan's podcast at the Bishop Conference a couple of weeks ago and knowing the work that Rebecca has been doing, I thought, two great people to have a conversation as we explore this prayer, which is so familiar, but some maybe even too familiar that we have, as you said, Rebecca, that we get used to saying it. And so before we dive into the Our Father, I just thought, I'm a few months into this year of prayer. What have you been encouraged by in this special year, either in your own prayer life or what you've seen in your parish or online, even the variety of resources that have been made available?
Well, it's actually been a bit of a coincidence or a God incidence that the Pope has asked us to focus on the Our Father. I didn't actually realise this at all until around about New Year, at the beginning of this year. And I really feel like it's fallen into place with the work that I've been doing building up to that moment. And I'll tell you a little story about how this whole project started right at the beginning, maybe at the beginning of last year. I was looking in my Catholic Mother's Planner, which any ladies who are listening who are mums, if you don't have one, please go and buy one. They are the best thing ever. I was having a look at my Catholic Mother's Planner, and they were focusing on certain ladies from the Bible throughout the year. And that particular month, they were talking about Sarah and how she dreamt big and prayed big, and she had this desire to be a mother. And then God told her that she would be a mother, and she laughed to herself, apparently. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, she asked huge things, and she was given huge things. And that particular month, the planner encouraged us to pray that month with our big, big dreams. And it said, Saint Teresa of Avila is credited with saying, you pay God a compliment when you ask big things of him. And I thought, oh, I am right at the beginning of this project. I had only just really come up with the concept. I was making sketches. I was trying to think about how to phrase all the parts of the Our Father for very young children to understand. And then I thought, oh, okay, well, let's pray big. Let's pray big. Let's ask God to take this exactly where he wants it to go, to make this a big success, to let lots of children and families come across this so that we can deepen their relationship with our loving Father and help them to understand this crucial prayer. And at the time that I was saying this, I was getting, you know, thinking of getting quotes from printers for maybe printing about 20 copies. And since then, everything's changed rather a lot. We've printed 500 and I've sold nearly 100 already, and they've only been on sale for a couple of months. So I really feel like this journey, this particular year, in this year of prayer, is a definite answer to the prayer that I was praying last year. So it's all falling into place, and it's really very wonderful. God is good.
Excellent. Fantastic thing to share. Thank you very much.
Well, I think actually it's good to hear that, because I think as I said, you know, I work and assist the bishops, and one of the things that we are trying to do here at the conference is to promote the Year of Prayer in preparation for the Year of Jubilee next year, the Pilgrims of Hope in 2025. And I think as part of that preparation, there's a group of us working together on making our plans with the bishops for how we might help the dioceses across England and Wales to enter into the Year of Prayer. And as Rebecca said, you know, Pope Francis has asked us to focus on what is the central prayer. Obviously, the Eucharist is a central prayer for Catholics, but Jesus, when the disciples asked him how to pray, gave them the prayer of the Our Father. And so it is the pattern for all of our prayer. And I think what is really good for me is to see that people are taking up this initiative. So as an avid follower and contributor to social media, you know, having put this kind of plan to the diocese, it is wonderful to see on Instagram or on X, as I think we're supposed to call it now, prayer initiatives. And, you know, I might even be as geeky to look at parish websites or diocesan websites and see that they are promoting the prayer of the Our Father. And, you know, for those of us who are on the planning team, that is a moment of great joy. But much more deeply than that, it reflects the call of Pope Francis during this year that, you know, preparing for a year of Jubilee is an important time for us to focus on what is important in our lives. And that is our relationship with the Lord, because from that flows everything else. And I think we'll get onto this a bit later on, but the prayer of the Our Father gives us that pattern for prayer. So it's really wonderful to hear Rebecca's initiative, but so many others. I must suggest another one that, you know, a resource that has been written for the parishes for Lent, We Dare to Say, which, you know, was conceived in a room here at Eccleston Square. People said they were going to contribute to it, and now thousands of copies have been printed and downloaded online and are being used in parishes up and down the country, where over 5 weeks of Lent, people are gathering to know how important it is to pray and why the prayer of the Our Father is important. So, gosh, there's a lot going on. And, you know, when people say, you know, people aren't praying or Christianity in England is waning a bit, actually, there are great pockets of hope. And to think that up and down the country, there are Catholics rededicating themselves to the prayer of the Our Father and to prayer in general is a great thing.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Father. I'm going to kind of pull on that, really, because obviously you can't get inside the mind of the Holy Father and say why exactly he chose the Our Father. But as you said, we could have taken the Mass of a focus of for Lent, or we could have taken Station of the Cross or the Rosary. Why in particular, I think the Our Father have kind of stood out as the way that this is how the key resource, if you will, of how we explore prayer in this year of prayer?
Well, if I may just go first, because I think you suggested, Joe, that I don't know whether you said this before you started recording or not, but people know that, that you'd heard the podcast that I've been doing for the Bishops Conference. And in that, I focused on one line of the Our Father, actually, which has always made a great impact on my own prayer life. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, all of us in the different situations of our lives, there are great joys in life, but there are challenges and there are stresses and there are lots of things to do. I don't have to bring up a family, but I understand, you know, from family and friends, all the different marker points of that kind of life. Everyone, you know, is busy. And sometimes there's all these preoccupations of thinking, well, you know, how do I fit my prayer in? How do I be a better Christian? How do I do this? How do I really hear what the Lord is saying to me? You know, and in that phrase, give us this day our daily bread, it's a very hopeful phrase, actually, which I think ties in with the Year of Hope, that actually all we can do is be a Christian for this present moment, this present day, and entrust ourselves to God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus taught us and say, you know, give me what I need just for today, to be a good mom or dad, to be a good priest, to be a good brother or sister, to be a good colleague in the workplace. And in that way, witness to my own faith. And so perhaps that's part of what Pope Francis and our bishops have taken that up as well, you know, that the prayer is a pattern for our prayer. If we can't be spending hours reading the scriptures and in contemplative prayer, we can't get to Mass every day, perhaps, then we do have the prayer which we can pray. And even if we just think about one line of it for a few moments. So I think that's really at the base of it, for me anyway.
That's great. Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing that. I really like that you said, actually. Yeah, if getting back to that daily kind of call of being a Christian in the moment, it's easy in the good moments, but in the frustrations at work and things like that, and having the Our Father teachings, that is a brilliant way of looking at it. And similarly, Rebecca, why of all the prayers you could have chosen to kind of focus on for your resource that you've made for families and children, why the Our Father?
At the time, I didn't really think about it. It seemed totally obvious to me. I suppose really, as Father Jan said, this is the prayer that Jesus taught us. This is the bedrock. This is the foundation. This is how he taught us to relate to our Heavenly Father, or to even call him Father in the first place. This is such an incredible thing to think about. And in terms of teaching our children, when you're starting from scratch, from a very young age, you know, they know nothing. Mm. We are forming their entire spiritual beings, and you have to start with the foundation. You have to teach them about how to relate to their Heavenly Father. And there's no point, you know, fostering fantastic relationships with saints and all the rest of it if they don't have that initial understanding that God loves us and how much he loves us and the ways that he loves us and the ways that we can love him in return. And I think this prayer is really good at focusing our minds on that and teaching that to very young children. It's a way of just explaining who God is, almost, which is a wonderful thing when we're trying to pass on the faith to our kids.
Absolutely. It calls to mind, we're hearing both of your answers there, actually, the parable of the house built on sand and the house built on the rock, really, about that getting the foundation, returning to the Our Father, that's the foundation of prayer, of being that relationship with God. And this is the way that Jesus called us into it. So thank you very much for sharing that. I thought the next part of our podcast would be to have a bit of a discussion around line by line the Our Father, and then we'll finish up with, again, saying the lines of the Our Father, and a bit of a pause for either reflection, silent reflection, or kind of questions or thoughts that come to our minds as we go. So jumping straight in at the first line, Our Father who art in heaven. Who wants to get us going about what comes to mind with Our Father who art in heaven? I think for myself, obviously, and we think growing up with children, we think of that, of heaven being that cloud, and the man with the long white hair and the big white beard sitting there. And that can often think about God of distant. But I think I've grown in my faith and grown in maturity about that, actually, that heaven not just being a place that one day we'll get to, but actually that relationship of seeing God face to face, for me. So that for when I reflect and think about the beginning of Our Father who art in heaven, it's seen of our Father, our God, who wants to relate to us, who wants to be with us. I'm not sure about who wants to jump in on that or any particular thoughts.
I've been on quite a journey in terms of doing these flashcards, and I have to say that I have actually learned quite a lot about the Our Father myself, even in doing this for very young children. We decided quite early on that it would also be a fantastic thing to include another card at the end of the flashcards, which has a little bit of a deeper look into the Our Father for all the adults, because, you know, if it's true for me that I can learn more about the Our Father, it's probably true for a lot of other parents. And as you said, you know, if you create a strong foundation, it's so much better, a so much better place to jump from. So in terms of teaching our kids, the stronger we can be in our faith, the better it is. So in doing a lot of research for this final card that goes in the pack about an explanation of the Lord's Prayer for adults, there were all sorts of things about the depth of each line of the Our Father, which really hit home for me. And for this particular line about who art in heaven, I realized that it says that heaven relates to his majesty, not his distance. So, you know, for young kids, it might be a cloud in the sky. But for us, we need to realize that heaven is not a faraway place. We're talking about our Father is in heaven. It's a state of being. It's where God is love, and it's all about his majesty. And he desires to live with us, and we can dwell with him, and therefore he can bring us into that.
Yeah, and I think, carrying on from what Rebecca's just said, I think that's an interesting point, is this sense of heaven. Just as you were speaking, I mean, one of the things I have to admit is that I used to be a parish priest. I haven't been in a parish now for nearly 9 years, working here at the Bishop's Conference, and before that, living in Rome. And I think, you know, I used to spend a lot of time in my last parish celebrating funerals with families. Up to 70 funerals a year in the particular parish I was in. And oftentimes at the cemetery would pray the reading from St. Paul, our true home is in heaven. And, you know, the home that we long for, one day we will be there, and this is our desire. And I think, you know, carrying on from what Rebecca said about the majesty and the awe of God, and this is his dwelling place, that ultimately we are all called into a relationship with the one that we can call Father, which, as we've already suggested, is truly awesome, that we are the children of God, that we enter into that relationship with God, who is our Father. And like our earthly relationships, where is that relationship going? Well, obviously, it's a relationship of trust, of goodness, of beauty and truth and majesty. But ultimately, we are called to share the Father's life. And so our Father who art in heaven, for me, reflects that deep desire in our pilgrimage that we want to be more like God who is in heaven. And, you know, the other lines of the Our Father, which we're coming to now, express that hope. But certainly, as we were just reflecting then, I was taken back to 9, 10 years ago in South Birmingham, and standing at a cemetery, saying those prayers of the family, our true home is in heaven. And God, whom we hope for, will take us to be there with him. And I think that desire comes out, perhaps not every time we pray the Our Father, but there is that sense that we're called into that depth of relationship with a Father who loves us and is ready to forgive us when we turn back to him. And that is the true majesty of God.
Excellent. Brilliant already. We're only one line in. But shall we move on to our second line? Hallowed be thy name.
This was one of the phrases that actually got me going on the whole project for the flashcards, because when I started, I thought, there's absolutely no way that my three-year-old understands the word hallowed. And it took me quite a while to find a way to phrase it that very young children would understand. But in the end, I went for, you are so special, because we're trying to describe how special and unique and amazing and holy God is. which is a very, very hard concept for very little children. So that's how I tried to describe it. But of course, for us, you know, we have to think about the way we use God's name and how holy it is, and how just by his name, you know, he saves us and he makes holy all creation.
And I think following on from that, you know, yesterday I had the great privilege of being at St. Mary's Twickenham University on a symposium day about the teachings of Pope Benedict. And it was lovely just to have, as I say, the luxury to be away from the office to think about theology for a day. But very deeply, actually, we were reflecting on the life and writing of Pope Benedict, Joseph Ratzinger, and his theology across his life, really. And what I think, you know, having read a lot of Joseph Ratzinger and being reminded yesterday, for him, you know, at the center of his theological journey, his faith journey, was the desire to worship, that, you know, and the desire that we have to give worship and glory and to hallow the name of the Lord, that, you know, that we enter into that relationship of trust through our life of prayer and in the liturgy. And, you know, we were sort of talking, actually, and this relates to our Jubilee year, so you'll forgive me for throwing this in, as we also been asked to think about the Vatican Constitutions, that the first of the constitutions of the Second Vatican Council was on the liturgy, you know, and Sacrosanctum Concilium. And Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI, you know, would say that this was a perfect way of living out the council, because, you know, from our faith, from our theology, is that desire to enter into a relationship of prayer. So once we've stated, you know, our Father who art in heaven, you know, that statement of faith, then we're drawn into that relationship with him, particularly in the liturgical and in our own prayer lives. So, you know, yesterday we were reflecting on that and thinking about that phrase now, how apposite it is. And, you know, in the liturgy itself, we pray the Our Father formally three times a day. If you go to Mass and you celebrate morning and evening prayer within the Mass and within the structure of the divine office of the Church, the Our Father is prayed formally three times a day. So it truly does become the pattern of prayer. I was going to say even within the liturgy, but as deeply rooted as part of the liturgical practice of the Church.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of Pope Benedict Ratzinger's writing. It's definitely had brought me to where I am in my own faith and where I'm working for the diocese and reading the Jesus of Nazareth series particularly, and then that opened a world of things for me. So excellent to be reminded of that. For me, the Hallowed Be Thy Name reminds me actually of Father Mike Schmidt's Catechism of the Year podcast, where he pointed out something I'd never thought of before, that often Christians are the only religion that use their deity, their God's name, as a derogative, as a swear, as kind of just used in for. And it really made me think, gosh, the amount of times I've done that, the amount of times I've just kind of called and used the Lord's name in vain, and then brought, of course, into the commandments, really, that it's second commandment of like of honoring the name of the Lord and keeping it holy. So I like, as you said, Father Jan, we enter into this prayer, we've put our focus on our Father who art in heaven. We're brought into that reminder, that relationship that God is calling us into, and entering into the praise immediately of hallowed be your name. So I like thinking about kind of the madness of the day, kind of refocusing our lives actually and saying, actually, this is where I'm heading, this is where I am, and Lord, may you be praised.
Praise God.
Yeah. Which then leads us into Thy Kingdom Come.
Gosh. I don't know who's going to go first. Rebecca, do you want to go first?
again, quite a complicated word for little children, this, thy. Not something that I have found even seven-year-olds understand in doing a bit of First Holy Communion prep. I realised that actually quite a lot of people who go to church don't realise that thy means your instead of my. Quite a lot of people might be praying this prayer thinking, when we say thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're kind of saying, well, you know, it's all about me, really. So I think it's quite important from a young age to try and make sure that this part of the prayer, it's obvious to our children that we are asking God to help us to do his will, and that his will is more important than our will. Which is, you know, a tricky thing for adults as well as children. Although being in the stage of life where I have small kids, it can be a great blessing for me to see how small children relate to their parents, and to be reminded about how we should be relating to our Heavenly Father, because they rely on us for everything. They trust us implicitly. We are their entire world. You know, without us, nothing of their life makes sense. So, and we are called to be like little children when we approach our Heavenly Father. That's why we're calling him Father. So at this particular point, it's a lovely thing to try and remember to be like small children, perhaps not the ones who are tantruming, perhaps to be like well-behaved little children, and to come to God with this utter trust and abandonment, because he knows what's best for us. And being a parent, we're constantly reminded about how we know what's best for our children, and they can sometimes fight it, and we just wish that they would understand that actually, you know, eating sand is not a good idea, please take it out of your mouth. And sometimes we need to remember that it can mirror our own relationship with God. And sometimes we need to remember to get out of the way. We need to remember that God knows what's best for us. We need to remember just to ask him to guide us, and ask him to let us do what he wants, because he knows what's best.
I'm reminded of the again, if one of the topics, I think might actually be the topic Christ speaks about the most, is the kingdom of God. And preparing the way for the kingdom that we are called to live. And if I think it's a beautiful tension of the here but not yet at the same time, really, of Christ has made the kingdom present. He says that it started his ministry by his, not only by his death and resurrection, but actually by his full ministry, his incarnation, if entered into our world, but the fullness of the kingdom have not yet taken hold in the world. And if that entering, I love that word entering into, I keep coming back to it, but entering into that work of Christ, of kind of like thy kingdom come, that we're still in this journey, pilgrims of hope, playing into our time for next year, of actually again looking forward, but also that not putting off thy kingdom come, that this is what's wanted.
Yeah, and I think from that, Joe, as well, I think there is this sense that as Christians we are called to proclaim the kingdom and also make it present, you know, for the Lord in the world in which we live. And unfortunately, you know, in the world in which we're living at the moment, there's a lot of instability. You know, there is war on our own continent, war in the Middle East, and, you know, you can't turn on the news at the moment without seeing warring factions, if it's not actual physical war, but people all too easily ready to engage in argument with each other. Social media can be very good, but it can be very toxic. And, you know, sometimes I think when we pray that phrase, thy kingdom come, you know, what are we actually praying for, you know, and what are we actually asking? And I suppose part of my own prayer at the moment, particularly during this Lent, has been, you know, where do I think the Lord is asking me to work at the moment? Well, I think I know that, but, you know, how can I be better at doing that? Not more efficient or more intelligent or, you know, get to the office on time, all those things. But actually, you know, by aligning myself, and I know we're moving in, as Rebecca did, into a bit into thy will be done, but allowing, you know, if the kingdom's going to grow in the world, it has to grow first in our own hearts, the hearts of the baptized. And to do that, we have to allow the Lord an entry. And I think as Christians, like everybody else, we've got into sometimes, unfortunately, a very individualistic and confrontational way of living, because unless that's just the way it is in central London. It seems that's the way people live at the moment. And it can be really, really difficult at times. So, you know, that desire to create the Lord's kingdom is a kingdom of truth, of justice, of peace, of mercy. And surely that's what we're praying for. But it's also that tension that we have to build the kingdom as well, because the Lord is asking us to witness to him in our lives. And that's not easy. And that's why we probably need to pray the prayer every day. I'll stop there. Otherwise, I could just carry on forever.
I'm going to say, we can see already in like just three lines in about this, the bringing of our whole life. We've come to about that now we're acknowledging our need to work with God. That brings us into thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to kind of touch slightly on this and say,
perhaps covered that in my last point. I jumped ahead of myself.
it flows. It naturally flows. So if either done, I think for me, if that humility brought in as well, that I can't remember where I read it, but if that the first step in holiness in Christian faith is actually humility of a need of God. And I say, you said, Rebecca, about his will. Often, I remember I used to be a school chaplain and I did a day for teachers in a school that had very few Catholics in it about prayer and reflecting on the prayers that I felt weren't answered, because that's often a thing for people of like, prayers aren't answered, so why pray? And while I was talking to the teachers, I realised the things that happened instead that were greater. Talking about how I remember I said a continuous novena to get into the school football team. And I never did, I ended up getting involved with the school plays, and then that led me to a drama degree where I met my wife, and I went to University of Birmingham and had my faith kind of exploding into this beautiful way it was, and I thought, gosh, that's all because I didn't get on the school football team.
Yeah.
so for me, actually, that we don't see the end plan, and sometimes if that being humble and trusting in God.
I think so, and I think, you know, that's a beautiful story, and I think you're right. I mean, in my own life, you can sort of think, well, why didn't the bishop ask me to do that, or why didn't that happen in my life, or, you know, why? But sometimes it's stepping back to see that bigger picture, and I think for me, that line in the Our Father has always been a link to the prayer of Our Lady, the prayer of the Annunciation, you know, let it be done according to thy will, again, thy will. You know, and I think Mary becomes for us, particularly in our Catholic tradition, our Blessed Lady becomes a model for that prayer. You know, she's bemused by, you know, what the angel is saying to her. But she is so aligned to, you know, to the Lord that she's able to say, let thy will be done. And so she really helps us to be able to say that even in our darkest moments, when we can't see the way forward, when we, you know, may think that we know a better way forward. And so it is about trusting that the Lord's will is done. And sometimes that means that we have to take a step back to listen to what that might be.
So we come to your favourite line, Father. Give us this day our daily bread.
Well, I've jumped in straight away just to say, I don't think I can add any more than what I said at the beginning of the podcast. So over to the two of you. It is my favourite line, so there we go.
I'll tell you a little story. It's also my godson's favourite line, because this is the bit where it says bread. I think he was only 4 at the time. But I think it's one of my favourite lines as well, and possibly because I've learnt so much more about it in the last year in doing this project. But also because it's something that the children can really, really relate to. So this was one of the easiest drawings for me to do for this, for the flashcards. I did some drawings of all the things that children need on a daily basis, and had them as thought bubbles coming out of the little boy's head, so that he was thinking about all the things he needs. He needs a house, he needs a bed, he needs food and drink, he needs clothes to wear, he needs a couple of things to play with. And this is something that therefore is very easily relatable for young children to understand, that these things are not provided because mummy and daddy earn some money and they pay for a house, although that's, you know, another important lesson, that everything is provided by God, everything, all of the time. So that's a really great lesson to teach our children, that we are constantly asking God to provide for us for everything we need. But so much more than that, I have now begun to learn about the other aspect of this line, about how the more accurate translation of daily being super essential is referring, the daily bread is referring to the bread of life. And this day is referring to the day of the Feast of the Kingdom in heaven, which the Eucharist anticipates. So the Eucharist is our daily bread. And there's this incredible dual meaning to this line, where we are talking about everything we need in a physical sense for our physical lives, but simultaneously we're also talking about everything we need for our spiritual lives, which is provided to us through the sacraments.
Excellent. There is nothing I can add to that. Fantastic exploration. Thank you so much, Rebecca. It's if brilliant. Everything I want to say and more. You did all the heavy lifting for us on that one. Thank you. So we come to, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. The hardest line for us to say, in my opinion, isn't it really?
The hardest line, yeah.
Yeah. It can be hard sometimes to ask for forgiveness, acknowledging our failings, but also can actually, the second part of that, be hard to actually to ask for forgiveness as much as we are prepared to forgive, really, to do the work of God. As Jesus said very early on in his ministry, at the man who's brought in through the roof, about his question, who can forgive sins but God? So when we forgive others, we're again doing that work of God. And actually, if Christ can forgive those on the cross who'd done that to him, it makes us think about those grudges in our own lives.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was thinking just as you were speaking, Joe, about the moment of, you know, Jesus on the cross as he's being crucified, which was excruciating and unimaginable pain. And he, you know, was offering that gift of forgiveness to those who were doing that to him. That kind of underpins, I suppose, the type of forgiveness we're talking about. And it is double. And I think by saying that prayer, that line in the prayer, it's also about the fact that we realize, one, that we're in need of forgiveness because we do fail, all of us fail, and God will give us that gift of forgiveness if we have truly contrite hearts. And I think that in itself is a prayer and a hope, and it teaches us how to forgive others, because I feel that, you know, obviously the way that we forgive others comes from the way that we know we have been or received that forgiveness from God. We can't do it otherwise. Our forgiveness wouldn't be genuine. It wouldn't come from God. And it has that certain amount of empathy that we know the situation that another person is in. You know, and going back to my little critique of the world in which we're living, I think, again, and you see this played out in social media all the time, people are not very forgiving. They're very quick to judge and to condemn. And there's no sense of forgiveness, and there's no sense that you can make, that one can make a mistake. And it's almost as if everyone's ready to point out everyone else's errors, you know, with no forgiveness but complete judgment. And I think by inverting it and saying, actually, Lord, actually, God, I need forgiveness because I'm in that place as well. I'm no better. And I think that sort of equals us out. And so that bringing about of the kingdom in the world, you know, and I've been thinking about this quite a lot over Lent, is about, you know, learning how to forgive, to genuinely treat each other. You know, Jesus's great command, love God and love your neighbor. Well, how do we show that love? In the most challenging way, it is to offer the gift of forgiveness. But it's not easy. And again, we have to learn how to do that. And I think part of that learning, and certainly my own life, if I'm being really, really honest, is laying myself bare before the Lord and saying, you know, oh gosh, look at me. I'm nowhere near perfect, and you're calling me as a priest to go out and to proclaim the good news, but I know my inadequacies. So before I can do that, you know, Father, I need to be in a better place with you. Forgive me. Enable me to be a person of forgiveness. And my final thought really is, you know, you'd expect a priest to say this, but it links beautifully to the sacrament of confession, which is, you know, so forgotten in so many places in the church these days. Because we rely on ourselves too much, and we need to open ourselves again, you know, to the power of Christ, his love and his healing love, which comes to us in the sacramental life of the church. End of homily.
There's not really much I can add to that, I don't think. Covered it all.
Yeah.
Excellent. So onto our final line then of, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Go on, Rebecca.
Well, just going back to my cards for a second. This is, of all the people I've spoken to, this is very often everybody's favourite picture. And the picture that I've drawn for this card is a little boy looking at two pathways. The paths are basically exactly the same because I didn't want to address the complication of how some things are more tempting than others. But we've got two pathways and a signpost, and one sign has a happy face and one sign has a sort of a sad cross face. And it's a lovely little picture which simplifies this to the point where very young children can understand that sometimes there are choices in our lives and we have to ask God to help us to choose the right way. And I think it's perhaps even more helpful that the paths look basically the same, because it means that without that signpost or without God helping us, then we don't necessarily know which one is the right way to go. What I also love, though, from a personal point about this last line of the prayer, is that it brings in the whole church, but also the whole world, into this deliver us from evil. So it says in the catechism, in communion with the whole church, we bring before God the whole distress of all the world and all the evils, everything all together, past, present and future, and we pray for deliverance of the whole human family. And I think that's such an incredible way to end the prayer, because we've gone on a journey from the beginning of the prayer to the end of the prayer, and we're ending by thinking about everything. We're thinking about our entire church community and our entire world and everything that we need help from God with, and bringing it all together and placing it before God, basically, which I think is a fantastic way to end.
So we now move into our final part of our podcast. We've had quite a good discussion there about thinking about the Our Father and what it's meant. So let's do what we're supposed to do with the Our Father and pray it. So, Rebecca, would you slowly lead us through the Our Father?
Absolutely. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen. And Father Jan, would you lead us in a final prayer?
I can do that indeed. And it's been good to have this this opportunity to be with each other. So together we can thank God for the time that we've had to discuss together the prayer, the Our Father, but also what it means for us and the deeper implications for our life of faith. Thanking God for bringing us together, and those who will hear our conversation, that they too may be drawn more deeply into this beautiful prayer as we follow the Lord's command to pray using the words that he taught us, to realize God as our Father, the one who forgives us of our sins, who calls us into that relationship with him, calls us to forgive each other, and calls us to walk in the ways of faith. So God, our Heavenly Father, be with us now on our journey as we continue to be your people, to build your kingdom, and to be the ambassadors of truth, beauty, and hope in our glorified world. We make these and all our prayers in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you both very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Enjoy the rest of your Lent and have a blessed Easter as well.
And you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this month's podcast. As you've heard about some different resources in this podcast for the Our Father, both the flashcards and the parish guidebook for exploring it, please do look in your podcast app. You'll find some notes about today's episode with links about how you can access these documents. You can also find them on our diocesan website, along with other resources for the Year of Prayer. That's at www.diocesofnottingham.uk/Year of Prayer. If you haven't already subscribed, please do, as each episode will be automatically downloaded to your device. Until next time, please pray for us and remember that we are praying for you.